This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Joy Powers, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we look at the rise in overdose deaths in Milwaukee and what's being done. We meet the owner of Sap Sap, a pop-up restaurant specializing in Lao cuisine. And in our monthly series, How Did You Do That?, we'll hear from a man who made radiation safer. But first, Kenosha. Yesterday, the city's district attorney announced it would not be charging Officer Rustin Shesky, the man responsible for shooting Jacob Blake. In August, Shesky shot Blake 7 times, paralyzing him from the waist down. The shooting led to widespread protests, and even before the announcement was made, Kenosha had prepared for demonstrations to once again rock the city. WUWM's Angelina Mosher Salazar has been covering this story, and she joins me now to talk about it. Angelina, thank you so much for being here.
Good morning, Joy.
This is major news out of Kenosha. Angelina, you were on the ground yesterday. What can you tell us about how things unfolded?
Yeah, it was a bit sporadic. The news and information that leaked out of the district attorney's office was definitely a slow drip. This is a highly anticipated decision, and we were given notification that indeed it was happening yesterday afternoon, but at an undisclosed location. And the district attorney's office refused to give us that information ahead of time for what they cited as security reasons. So I was located in downtown Kenosha, which really had been the flashpoint of, you know, the protest over the summer, and also where the municipal building is and, you know, the county courthouse, assuming that it would happen somewhere in that vicinity. When I actually did receive a notification as to where the press conference was happening, it turns out that it was at Broadstop, about 20 minutes outside of the city. And they had a very hard line deadline to be there at 3 o'clock. And they had deputies at the door at this location where you had to show press credentials to get in. So it was a very, I would say, stressful and highly anticipated announcement.
It does seem like an odd location. You know, I enjoy the brat stop as much as anyone. I like brats and cheese, but it does seem like an odd choice for this kind of serious announcement.
I definitely did not anticipate that that was where the announcement was going to be made. I barely made the cutoff. So again, it was at 3 o'clock. I was, you know, through the doors at 2:59, and I barely had an opportunity to even set up my microphone and all my equipment to then start recording the audio for the press conference. But that's where it happened.
Well, this was a serious press conference. We know now that the decision was to not pursue criminal charges. What can you tell us about the reasons why?
Yeah, I do want to say here very briefly that the decision and the press conference was a 2-hour-long explanation as to why the DA ruled to not pursue criminal charges. So it was a very dense presentation with a lot of evidence, a lot of details, but ultimately it boiled down to the question of self-defense. In the state of Wisconsin, the onus is on the prosecution to prove that the person did not act in self-defense. And ultimately, you know, District Attorney Michael Gravely said that he did not feel confident that he could bring a case before a jury and prove that Officer Shesky, the officer who did shoot Jacob Blake 7 times, 4 in the back and 3 in the side, that he did not act in self-defense. He felt that there was overwhelming evidence that he did indeed fear for his life and acted in self-defense.
So something unprecedented actually happened in this case, where the DA brought in an outside expert on use of force tactics, specifically former Madison Police Chief Noble Ray. What did he have to say about this?
Yeah, this presentation was very interesting. It took up about an hour of the press conference, and ultimately, Noble Ray, who I should say is a black man who served as a former police chief in Madison for a very long time. And he stated right out of the gate that when he saw the video, he had a very visceral reaction to the video and was very critical of Officer Chesky and the actions that happened. However, his final report after looking at the full body of evidence is that he did not believe that there was an excessive use of force. And the reason that he came to that conclusion is because he says that what we see in the video is just a very short snippet of what actually happened during the full encounter between Jacob Blake and the other officers that responded to the scene. And he broke it down to three primary reasons whether or not an officer should use force and if that force is appropriate. The first being, is there a crime? And in this scenario, the investigation that the DA conducted and also the independent expert, Noble Ray, says, yes, there was a crime. There was a federal warrant out for Jacob Blake's arrest, number one. Number two, was Jacob Blake resisting arrest? And in the presentation, they outlined that not only did Jacob Blake not comply with verbal commands of, you know, get on the ground, but also that officers physically engaged Blake by trying to wrestle him, by trying to handcuff him, and those attempts were failed. And ultimately, they tased Jacob at least two times in which the taser did latch on, the prongs did latch on to Jacob's body, but then he removed the prongs. And so they were not able to subdue Jacob. And so all of those is evidence that points that he was indeed resisting arrest. Now, the third and probably most important reason is, was there a weapon? And this has been an issue of great speculation. In the video footage, it is very difficult to see what Jacob is holding in his hand, but ultimately the police investigation and Noble Ray's investigation concludes that there was a weapon. It appears to be a small foldable knife where the blade was out. It's hard to determine exactly how large this knife is, but it was present at the scene, and Jacob himself also says that that was his knife and that he was in possession of it. For all of those reasons, Noble Ray says that is why he ultimately concluded that the officers did not use excessive force. Now, the last thing that I want to include in this is, this case has drawn international attention. As an example of that, we had a Belgian reporter in the news conference who says, you can conclude that this is not an excessive use of force. But my question is, for European audiences and many people who see this, this is undoubtedly a use of force. So maybe this is right by the standards of American policing. But how do you explain this to, you know, other communities who see that this is just not right? And ultimately, Ray responded by saying that by the standard operating procedure and by the training that police officers have in this country, he ultimately determined that it was not an excessive use of force.
It does seem to be a response that harkens back to the idea of, well, I was just doing my job. And we know this is a decision that many community members are upset about. It's not just people in Europe or around the country. It's people here who are saying maybe something has to change. With this decision coming down, what was the aftermath like in Kenosha?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I will just state right out of the gate that it was a very peaceful night in Kenosha. There were protesters. We had a reporter on the ground, Chuck Hornbach, and he, according to his estimates, there was a group of about 30 protesters who did stand in front of National Guard armored vehicles. But the images that we saw from the summer of like burning businesses and destroyed property, that was not the story of Kenosha last night. But there was certainly a lot of anticipation and a lot of worry that it would have been a violent night. Just to give you an example, the Kenosha City Council voted unanimously for a curfew. And that decision drew swift criticism from the ACLU. It did not prevent protesters from taking to the streets, but ultimately it was a very peaceful night.
So where do things stand now?
Jacob Blake's father spoke yesterday and said that no one is surprised by this decision. No one is blindsided by the DA's announcement that they will not be pursuing criminal charges against the officers involved in his son's shooting, but that the fight is not over and that they are going to DC to lobby Congress and to change laws that he feels protect law enforcement.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing more of this story. But Angelina Mosher Salazar is a WUWM News reporter who's been covering the situation in Kenosha. Angelina, thank you so much for sharing your work here on Lake Effect.
Thank you for speaking with me, Joy.